Well, good morning. It is really wonderful to be here in Woodland Church. You know, a lot of us walk through life with a song in our hearts, and our life can be sometimes likened to an instrument. And I'm just going to play a couple bars on my saxophone. See if you recognize this. You know, we have our own song, and we kind of go through life just playing our instrument. But you know what? God does not want us to be alone. He didn't create us to be alone. He created us to be in relationship with one another. And so rather than just playing by myself, Dan, I'd like to play Amazing Grace with you in the key of F. Go ahead and play an F chord for me. Ooh. That's a little out of tune. Can you maybe fix that?
Tune it?
Yes, please. See, we have a rare opportunity to watch the master tune his instrument. So what he's doing is he's tuning his instrument so that way it will play in tune. Hey, see, now it sounds good. All right, go ahead and play that F again. Oh, no, that still doesn't sound right. You sound good yourself, but we don't sound good together.
I think you're sharp.
Yeah, let me bring it down a little bit. That's better.
A little better.
I'd really have to come out. You know what? Hold that thought. Let's see what it sounds like with a keyboard. Can you play it? Play enough for me? See, now I'm in tune better with him. I need to line up with you. Let's try that again. That's better. You see, I had to come in tune with what your instrument is already in tune. It's perfectly in tune. It's electronic. It's at standard pitch. What happened here? You sounded like you were in tune.
I tuned my guitar. What?
So what you're saying is you tuned to yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just pick a string and tune up.
But see, you're at a standard pitch. You're at your standard pitch.
Oh, I suppose. Okay.
So you need to come to the standard.
All right, I got it right here. I'll try.
Okay, so what he's doing now is he's tuning to standardized pitch with his electronic tuner. And just as Lisa's keyboard is already perfectly in tune to standard pitch by virtue of its electronic tuning, Dan is now coming up to the standard pitch with his electronic tuner. So together, we'll be able to be in tune with one another. Not only that, but we'll be able to be in tune with what is the standard. The acceptable standard is standard pitch. So now all three of us can play together. Here we go. Oh. Give them a hand. Well, that was fun. You're probably thinking, what is going on? Well, the title of my message is In Tune, as you probably may have guessed. And what was going on was that Dan's instrument was out of tune. And so when he brought it in tune, he tuned it to itself. Then it sounded like it was in tune, but it wasn't according to standard tuning. Lisa's keyboard, of course, was already at standard tuning, and so I had a choice to make. Was I going to be in tune with Dan's own tuning, or was I going to change and adjust to match Lisa's standard tuning? Now, granted, when we talk about standard tuning, I'll just kind of put this as an aside, you know, the iOS or the Organization for International Standard of Organization for Standardization. Anyway, big mouthful. They established A at 440 hertz, and it's only been less than 100 years ago, I think it's 1955. So there are other frequencies that people have standardized, such as A432 and so forth, but the point is that there has to be a standard for everyone to follow in order to be in tune with one another. 100 guitars can all be tuned to the same standardized pitch, and they'll sound together, whatever that standard may be. But like my saxophone, when I began, I sounded like I was in tune. At least I was playing it that way. But then when I had to play with Dan, I wasn't in tune, and I had to change and match his tuning. Once we were in tune, we realized that we were both off to the standardized tuning. And so I had a choice. Was I going to follow Dan's own tuning or Lisa's standard tuning? And all of us have a choice today as well. There's a lot of standards that people will say that they have and that they follow. And in and of themselves, they may think, I'm all right. I'm okay. This is right. And you could follow them and you'll be right along with them. But it may be their version of right and not God's version of right. So again, you have a choice. Whose standard will you follow? And how do you even know what that standard is? Well, I have good news for you, because the Bible is the standard by which we live our lives in tune. The Bible is our standard. And again, we're seeing in our society almost an entire generation that who are embracing, things as good that only a couple generations ago would have thought were bad for thousands of years. But then all of a sudden, no, they're morally okay now. There's an epidemic of moral relativism, a rejection of absolute truth. No standard of right or wrong, only what someone deems is right or wrong in their own eyes. Sort of like Dan's guitar. He was in tune with himself. He had his own standard. And like many people, they have their own worldview, and what is right in their own eyes is actually in discord with God. They're right in their own eyes. Look at Isaiah 5:20 and 21. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. This right here, this verse, so vividly paints a picture of why, more than ever, we need to be inviting people to church. Because they don't think they're wrong. They are right in their own eyes. Dan when he played his guitar was right in his own eyes. But what you just saw in this little musical skit, so to speak, you just saw evangelism in action. Because I was able to recognize what was right and what was wrong by hearing the standard. And I could have just said goodbye to Dan. I was like, no, I'm going to follow this. See ya. But no, what did I do? I said, Dan, can you tune to the standard? And he was willing to do that. And he changed. He adjusted to the right standard. And guess what? I won a brother. And we were able to be in harmony together. There are people that you know who feel that they are right in their own eyes, and they don't even know that they are in discord with God until they are shown. Until Dan played his guitar with Lisa's keyboard, he may have thought, hey, I sound good, I'm in tune. He didn't recognize that he was in discord with what was the standard. And that's why God gave us the law. The law was a standard that could not be met. But then God made a way to have us be justified, not by the law, but by grace. Again, the Bible is our standard by which we live our lives in tune. So what's our reference? Well, I may have seen a pitchfork, you know, or heard a little pitch pipe, or, you know, something that we can guide ourselves to be in tune. The Bible is that standard of absolute truth. Now, there is no perfect instrument. An instrument will always need a tuner. And this is important, because you can tune your guitar to standard pitch, but it's not always going to stay that way. You can pick it up tomorrow, and it's not going to be in tune. In fact, the longer you wait, the more out of tune it's likely to get. Needless to say, before any performance, a musician is going to tune their instrument. And I'm sure you're way ahead of me. Because just as there's no perfect instrument, there's also no perfect person either. None of us is perfect. We will always need the Bible. We'll always need the Bible. To maintain a right relationship with God, we must daily read the Bible and daily pray, to be in fellowship with God in prayer. And the wonderful thing about daily prayer is that when we pray and when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit helps to align us according to His will. You know, we just sang that beautiful song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Fill this place. Fill my heart. Fill my life. Lead me and guide me. Like I said, there's no perfect instrument, but even after it's been tuned, the instrument itself still has flaws. No instrument is perfectly in tune with itself. I can pick up my saxophone now, and I can tune to a standardized tuning, and my A will be in tune. But then when I play my D might be a little flat. And so I'm going to need to adjust my embouchure to make a small adjustment to bring that in tune. My B may be a little sharp, but I need to relax my embouchure to bring that in tune. Even as I was playing, I was making small adjustments. Even after I was tuned to standardized pitch, my instrument is flawed. And our lives are flawed. We need the Holy Spirit to make those little course corrections. So, as a musician, I use my ear to make those little corrections in pitch. As a Christian, we use our heart to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the graphic that I designed for today's message, you see a heart wearing headphones connected to a Bible. It's just a little creative way of showing that a musician uses their ear to play in tune with their instrument. And the Christian uses their heart to live in tune with God. I'll say that again. A musician uses their ear to play in tune with their instrument. And a Christian uses their heart to live in tune with God. We may have said a prayer at one point and asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart and be the Lord and Master of our life and thought it was just a one and done. It's not. I can tune my instrument, but as I play it, I need to be listening. You have said, Jesus, you are my God. I will follow you. But it's not just, okay, I made a decision to follow Christ. Now I have to live in that fellowship with God. And to live in tune means to be able to listen with our heart for the voice of the Holy Spirit to keep us living in tune with him. And that's why it's so important when we say daily Bible reading and daily prayer. How many of you have thought, well, you know, I should read my Bible, you know, I mean, but you know, I've already read it. I mean, I'm already familiar with it. Why read it again? Okay, well, what if you thought, well, I should talk with my wife. I mean, I've already talked with her in the past. I'm already familiar with her. Why talk to her again? Hi, honey. How many would think there's a big difference there? Well, honestly, there's less difference than you might think. You see, the perceived difference is that the Bible is a book and your spouse is a relationship. But the Bible is more than just a mere book. The Bible is the living word of God. And here's the thing, God made us all with two very important things in common. Number one, we've been made to worship. And number two, we've been made to fellowship. Worship and fellowship. The first ship, worship. All around the world, in every civilization, throughout human history, people have worshiped something. Or, you know, be it a king or a person or a statue or gods or forces of nature. We've been made to worship. The distinction has never been, will you worship? But what will you worship? Who will you worship? And secondly, we've all been made to fellowship. We've been made for relationship. Even the most introverted among us, no matter how introverted you may consider yourself to be, I don't play well with others, I'm just happy with my books. You know, we're still created to be in fellowship, first and foremost, with God. That's our first and primary relationship is with God. But God even said when he created Adam that man should not be alone. God chose us. Before we were born, he chose us, and he chooses us still. It says in John 15:16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I chose you, God says. Yes, after what you did, yes, after what you said, yes, after what you thought, God still chooses you. He still wants to be in relationship with you. Now, granted, he wants you to confess your sin and ask for forgiveness because unconfessed sin separates us from God. But God wants a right relationship with us. He will not forget us. He is always there. And when we turn our back on him, all we need to do is turn around and we realize he is right there. Can God ever forgive us? Can God ever forget us? No, never. Look at Isaiah 49:15. Never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Jesus is with us always. His last words on earth before he descended was, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, have you ever been lost driving? Don't raise your hand. That's the horrible. It's just like you're afraid. You don't know where you are. You know, are you going to get to your destination on time, you're upset, you're discouraged, and well, God is like a GPS. Well, I should say like a GPS app. I used to have one of those little Garmins on my dash, and you know, now I just ask Siri. No, I'm not talking to you now. So, God is like a GPS, giving us directions toward our destination. At the light, make a left turn. My Siri is the British Siri because it sounds cool. At the light, make a left turn onto West Road. Now, if I decide to ignore her, I could just go straight. But you know what's going to happen is the GPS is going to reroute you. It's not going to just abandon you. It's like, all right, good luck with that. No, it's going to reroute you because it's designed to get you to where you need to go, to put you back on the path toward your destination. When you're lost, God is saying in Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. When you're lost and discouraged, he says, don't be discouraged, for I am your God. When you're feeling helpless, he says, I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. In other words, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. When you sin, you're saying no, God. When God is saying make a left turn and you're saying no, God, I'm in the driver's seat. I'm going to do things my way. How many of you know it's time to say, Jesus, you take the wheel? You know, we got to get off our throne and let Jesus be on the throne. If Jesus is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. But even if you, after you recognize the error of your way and you admit to God, I'm lost, God is still going to say, I am with you, and he'll lead you in the way you should go. Now, the detour might set you back. You know, there is, you know, consequences to willful disobedience, but he's going to give you a detour anyway. It might lengthen your journey. You might not be able to drive on the smoothest roads. You might not drive through the nicest neighborhoods. There may even be potential hazards up ahead that could have and should have been avoided. But even through that, God won't abandon you. Again, in Isaiah, he says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Isaiah 43:2. So, even if it's hardships of your own making, even if those rivers of difficulty or the fires of oppression, you know, are your fault because you willfully disobeyed God, he is still there with you. And guess what? As long as you are with God, you won't be burned up. You will not drown. That's a promise. Now, no one enjoys difficulty. No one, you know, looks forward to oppression. But with God, all things are possible. And he won't allow us to go through anything, any temptation that we can't say no to, or any situation that we can't turn to him, and he won't allow us a way of escape. So how tragic when someone says they don't need God. Oh my goodness. If anything that you've heard today, we need God. There's people who don't even believe in God. And yet God wants from you more than simply a belief in him. He wants to have a relationship. More than just a belief in him, a relationship with him. In fact, the very fact that we even can have a relationship with God is what differentiates Christianity from every other religion. Whether it's a theistic religion, like, you know, believing in, you know, a supreme God or gods or a non-theistic religion, like, I don't know, different metaphysical thought patterns or energies or something like that. You know, what they all have in common is that they're built upon the premise that it's man trying to reach up to God or a god or a gods, trying to reach a higher power or a state of being by man's own efforts. There's no relationship in that. In other words, man is the initiator and the deity is the benefactor or the beneficiary of, you know, the sacrifices, the, you know, the prayers, the good deeds, whatever efforts are made. And then the person has this hope of some sort of paradise or nirvana or higher state or maybe even becoming a god themselves, as long as they, you know, adhere strictly to all the different tenets of whatever that religion says they're supposed to do. But Christianity isn't like that. Christianity is not a religion like that. Christianity is a relationship. And it's the only religion that is a relationship because God established that relationship with us. See, unlike other religions, with Christianity, God is the initiator, and we're the beneficiary. And it's not a hope. It's a certainty. Remember what we just read in John 15, 16. Jesus said of us, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." It wasn't through our effort reaching up to God, it was God reaching down to us in our need. And it's not only relationship, it's the relationship initiated by God through his grace and not by any works that we could ever do to earn or deserve it. In fact, there's nothing any of us could ever do to make ourselves right with God. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own way. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." And a little later in Isaiah 64:6, we read, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags." Ouch. So when you think of that, how in the world can God reach down to us for a relationship? See, in any good relationship, a person needs to recognize the need of the one whom they love and then meet that need. And God loved us so much that he reached down and met that need. In fact, our need met God's love in John 3:16. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That's the most familiar verse in the Bible, but it's really the good news of the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? What we cannot do for ourselves, God did for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be right, made right with God through Christ." We could be made right with God. We can have a right relationship with God. We can live in tune with God. Well, what does that relationship look like? Three things real quick. Love is the language of our relationship with God. Love is the language of our relationship with God. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:5 when he said in Matthew 22:37, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." You must love. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't, "Oh, wouldn't it be nice if, well, maybe kind of, sort of." Commandment means must. And he says, you must love. And he says, it's the greatest commandment. So this is the greatest command. The first command is to love God, and that is God's language. It is our love to God, our command to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all that is within us. But it's also the language of God to us, because God so loved the world, there's the language of love that enabled us to have that relationship with him in the first place. So what do you do with a command? You obey it. Number two, obedience is how we demonstrate our love to God. Now, if you were to say to your parent, I love you, but you never did anything they asked you to do. If you were a friend and they asked you to help them with your homework and you said, no, I'm not going to. It's like, I thought you were my friend. Well, I'm not going to do it. Obedience is how we demonstrate love. And we can't just say, God, I love you, and just do our own thing. We have to live in obedience. See, in John 15, 14, it says, you are my friends. Isn't that great? Let's just stop right there. You are my friends. Go ahead and put that verse up on the screen for us. You are my friends. Oh, there it is. There's the rest of it. If you do what I command. Can we just do the first part? Obedience is how we demonstrate our love to God. You'll recall that that God and Moses talked face to face in the tent of meeting, just as friends do. That's astounding. But it wasn't because Moses was perfect. It wasn't because, you know, he was all that and a bag of chips and a pickle on his side. And I don't know how many other things they've added since I was in high school. But it was because Moses was chosen, all right? And Moses, in response, obeyed God's commands with reverence and humility. To be called a friend of God is not to be taken lightly. I mean, you wouldn't approach the creator of the universe as like, yo, hey, big G, me again, I got another job for you. You know, help out a brother, old pal, old buddy. No, there's no reverence in that. We can go to God the Father as his child and say, Abba. And that is a street bud that says, yo, you know, there's still reverence involved. And number three is reverence. Reverence is how we obey the commands of God. We obey reverently. We don't obey out of, I gotta do what God wants me to do, even though I hate it. I gotta love God because he told me I got to. No. Love should be what motivates us to be with God. I love to be with my wife because I love her. And I'm sure all of you love to be with your spouse because you love them. Not because you have to. Not because you're afraid of some consequence. No. When you love someone, you want to be with them. And when the person whom you love asks you to do something, your reply isn't, well, what's in it for me? What are you going to do for me? You know? No, it's not like that. It's the desire that you want to help one another. So what does reverence look like? Psalm 111, verse 10 says, fear of the Lord, it's another way of saying reverence for the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commands will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. I love the way it ends with praise him forever. Because when we reverence the Lord, when we love the Lord and obey his commandments, we're praising him. We get to live our lives in praise to him. Praise to God is communion with him. Community with God. So in closing, I would say God created you to enjoy a right relationship with him. And furthermore, daily prayer and daily Bible study, underlying daily, maintains that relationship, is lived in tune with him. Now, am I saying that if I don't ever read my Bible again, that I forfeit my relationship with God? No, I said right relationship with him. You could move out into an apartment and still be legally married to your spouse, but there wouldn't be a relationship. God wants relationship. He wants fellowship. And we do that when we are praying daily and reading his word daily. In fact, we are able to love him because he first loved us. He first chose us. Now, maybe you're here thinking, God chose me? I mean, seriously, me? I'm glad most of y'all don't even know the real me. You know, if you knew what I knew, and God chooses me? Yeah, he does. He does right now. You could be watching online, and you could be thinking, how can I have this right relationship with God? It's very simple. And it isn't anything that has to do with what you have done, because you cannot earn and you cannot deserve God's relationship with you, because he is the initiator who adopts you as his son, as your daughter. An adopted child doesn't choose their parents. The parent chooses the child, and God chooses you. If you want to have that right relationship with him, and you're thinking, wow, could it be? Maybe you're hearing in your heart for the first time that still small voice of the Holy Spirit who's saying, today is the day. Come to me. I will take your burdens. I will make your load light. I will welcome you into my family. I will be your God and you will be my child. I invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. And if all of us can just bow our head, and those of us here would do likewise. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you chose me before I was born, and you choose me today. I thank you, Lord, that you want a right relationship with me. I thank you, Lord, that because of your love, you reached down from heaven. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, so that here today, I am able to ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. All of my sins. Lord, I confess my sin to you, and I ask that you would be my Lord, my master. Lord, I more than just believe in you. Lord, I want a relationship with you, and I want to live my life in tune with your will for my life. With our heads still bowed, if there's anyone here in the sanctuary who has prayed that prayer for the first time, and wants to dedicate their life to Christ and has made that decision for him, if you just slip up your hand, no one else looking around, I won't embarrass anyone. If you're online, I invite you to just send a little email to info@woodland.church, or you can send me a personal one, mark@woodland.church, and let me know, and we'll be able to get some information to you. Now I have one more prayer for the rest of us. Maybe you feel like that guitar that's been kept in the case, leaned up against a corner, and if you were to take it out of the case and you strummed it, it would be ugh. You recognize that you haven't read the Bible in a while. You haven't even prayed in a while. You need a good tuning. You know that you are not in tune with God. Yes, you believe in him. Yes, you consider yourself a Christian, but you're not walking in tune. And it's been so long since you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit to correct your pitch as you walk through life that you feel like you may not even recognize him anymore. I have news for you. The Holy Spirit has never stopped speaking to you. You may have stopped listening, but he never stopped speaking. You may have stopped reading God's word, but God's word is just as alive today as it's always been. You may have turned your back upon God and not prayed to him or with him, but if you were to turn around, you would find that God has been with you all along, just waiting for you to come before him in prayer. So if you've neglected daily Bible reading and time spent in prayer, today is the day to confess to the Lord and commit yourself to not forsake those daily disciplines and to have a right relationship with him. Not be content with just a relationship, but a right relationship. Lord Jesus, I pray for those of us who call ourselves Christians, who are known by your name, but yet do not and have not spent the time that we ought with you. Lord, we sang, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. We shared in the elements that represent your body and blood and communion. But Lord, we have not been in communion with you except perhaps when we've been in these four walls. That's not the right relationship you want for us. Lord, you love us just as we are, but you love us so much you would not have us remain as we are. You want us closer, closer, closer. So, Father God, if any of us feel as if we have been distant from you, it is time today, Lord. We come boldly before the throne of grace. And Lord, we receive and reinitiate that transformational life in you. That abundant life, that new life, that right relationship lived in tune with your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God loves you so much. God wants that relationship with you. And I hope that when you leave today, you can just say, God loves me. And just be joyful in the fact that you are God's child. Well, it's been a great day at Woodland. I am so glad that you have been with us. And those of you online, just let us know that you've been here, and we will see you next Sunday. God bless you. You're dismissed.